terms of who am I. example بيقول في واحد راح لكاهن في مصر, واحد شاب يعني كان بيستراجل مع التدخين, فابونا حاول يكلمه كده والشاب لا مصمم ان هو لا مش حاجه غلط في اللي انا بقوله. فابونا قام مطلع من الدرج بتاعه صوره للمسيح وقال له اوكي ارسم سيجاره في رؤى المسيح. فالولد اتخض يعني قال له لا استحالة انا اعمل كده. فابونا رد عليه قال له احنا الانجيل بيقول ان انت صوره المسيح, فليه انت رافض تعمل كده في الصوره في الاصل وانت الصوره. ف again this is in terms of who am I when I ask this question in Christianity, the answer is very different from other belief systems, and that's how worthy we are in God's eyes. Who is the other, right? So the other, simply speaking, in Christianity is my relative, and we are called to love people as we love ourselves. If you go to the atheistic point, it's like, no, it's your own pleasures that matter. It's your own satisfaction. It's your own happiness, regardless of the others. Because this is how we evolve, right? Like, this is survival of the fittest. So you do whatever you can while you're alive. If you can get away with it, do it, right? It's a pretty big difference. And again, I can't stress enough that this has implications in real life. And then, answering the toughest questions. So how would a certain belief system answer questions like this? Why don't we see God with our eyes, for example? How, if he loves us, why pain? Why is there pain and suffering in the world? And is there life after death? So let's put a pin in this point, because if we have time, we're going to discuss it in the second point. So for example, how, if you're talking to an atheist, how they would answer these questions, and versus how the Bible is teaching us that we can approach these tough questions. So just a very simple answer. Why don't we see God with our eyes? God has been revealed, like you said. This is different than pretty much any other religion or any other belief system. So why don't we see him with our own eyes? No, we have seen him with our own eyes, and we still do in our lives. The other important thing, and when we're comparing religions, if the answer is there, regardless if I'm satisfied with it or not, then it's a good thing that the answer is there, right? If I'm not convinced, then this is like step two, where we can discuss it and have these questions and build on top of the fact that the answer is there. But in other belief systems, the answer is not there to begin with, like we're going to see later. So if he loves us, why pain? Obviously, this is a huge, huge, huge topic. But ultimately speaking, in Christianity versus other beliefs, ultimately speaking, right? What is Christ doing on the cross? If he is God, then what is he doing exactly on the cross if not participating in our pain? Right. So this is not an answer, by the way. This is just a way to think of how Christianity is different and is with us, like Christ is with us in our pain. This is not distant, right, from us. He shared with our pain as well. Is there life after death? Right. So Christianity is the only religion that can make such a claim based on evidence, whether it's historical evidence, whether it's personal life. There is plenty of evidence in terms of the resurrection. And by the way, what I said to Mina about the people dying for a lie. So it's a very interesting trick that the atheists use, what I said. They bring up the 9/11 and all of these people in other religions that die. Correct? So correct, yeah, they do die for a lie, but the difference is between them and the apostles. There's a pretty big difference. The guys who did 9/11, yes, they did die for a lie, but they did not come up with this lie themselves. That lie was composed 1,400 years ago by somebody. And that somebody died after living a very pleasant life on Earth. disciples died for a lie, it would have been a lie that they made themselves, because they were the eyewitnesses, right? So if they were composing this whole thing for a lie that they made, they would not have died, because they were not told by somebody else. They made it up. So when push comes to shove, no, I'm not gonna die for something that I made up as a lie. Just a prayer. Is that point clear? Final approach is basically like common sense, right? Like in that picture is like, anybody's familiar with Tom and Jerry, like gravity apparently doesn't work until, you know, Tom looks at the bottom. So this is not common sense, right? So we're gonna see like some very clear examples of something that is not common sense in the atheistic worldview. Okay, so does this belief make sense or not? If it makes sense, maybe I can start exploring it and maybe being satisfied when I join. If it doesn't make sense, then why bother to begin with? Right? Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. Yeah. And similar to what we just spoke, what's the evidence for what I believe? One of the atheist like spokesmen, they had this quote that says, "What can be asserted without evidence can also be dismissed without evidence." Okay? Which is very true. So we're going to see if we apply this quote to their own belief system, what we're going to come up with. Okay? So in terms of books, if you're interested in this, there's a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. This is the QR code for it. It approaches Christianity from a very basic level. Another book on pain, again by C.S. Lewis, called The Problem of Pain. And about the resurrection and the empirical evidence for it, this book called The Case for Easter. It's very, very nice. So very quickly, for the time that we have left, if we explore the atheist worldview specifically, and let's see if our kids are interested in this kind of lifestyle, because we got also a question yesterday that was like, if these atheists are super free, لهم عندهم الحرية إن هم يعملوا اللي هم عايزينه وإحنا عندنا قيود كمسيحيين يبقى هم حتى لو المعتقد بتاعهم eventually ultimately غلط بس they had a nice life on earth علشان هم حرين أكتر منهم. What do you think about this question? I know that's an actual question that was asked yesterday. What do you think?
No, they are not more free. Like, so basically they think that they are free, that they are like bondage of sin and bondage of Satan, right? So
مظبوط. فهي ده كان سؤال حلو ان هو جه. بس احنا الولاد عندنا they don't think like this unfortunately yet. Not yet. They're not ready.
Their friends or on social media, they take it for granted. Like whatever they're being told, other than their parents and the church, they take it for granted. Like they have very low barriers. مش كلهم يعني أنا بتكلم بس على معظم.
Do I consider it freedom just because I'll get to do the things that I like? Is that what freedom is about? I think that goes into a deeper discussion.
With them, because they have lots to say. They have seen a lot. Let's just put it this way. They have seen a lot, and maybe of them, those who read, they also read a lot. But our role, I think, is to bring up these points and listen to them and then start the conversation. Because definitely they have lots to say. They do have lots to say. They're going to tell you we don't believe anything, right? We only see. If I can see it, then I know it's true. صح؟ بس أنت we're going to present the big flashy item that they present, and then when you look at it a little bit closely, or when you read a little bit of what they're writing, you're going to see الفضايح بقى كلها تطلع في اللي هم بيقولوا. So the first thing in Hama, they say, okay, we don't believe in belief, we only believe in what, or we only know what we see is correct. Okay, so what's their worldview? A worldview basically هي حاجة الطريقة اللي أنا بؤمن بيها بحاجات أو مقتنع بيها بحاجات, and it reflects in the way that I live my life. احنا we're interested على أرض الواقع اللي بيحصل من الحاجات اللي احنا هنشوفها في الناس الملحدين أو البليف سيستم بتاع الملحدين. So they say we don't believe. So we're going just to go very, very quickly on five things, and we're going to look at how they approach it as a worldview. So number one, how they see God. Number two, how they see the resurrection of Christ. Number three, how they see the universe. How did the universe came to be? Why is there something rather than nothing? It's a very interesting word, apparently. Four, life. How they see life. And five, and finally, morality. How do they approach these talks? So number one, God. They say there is no God, okay? But then when you look closely to what most of them believe, you have like a very prominent historian. And again, كل الناس اللي أنا جايبهم هنا دول, these are like the world-class atheists, right? مين امبارح قال comment حلو قوي, إن إحنا he's like the, these people are like the popes and bishops of atheism. إحنا مش جايبين ناس من اليوتيوب that are worthless, يعني clowns كده هوت, وبنقول الكوتس بتاعتهم. No, these are like the big influencers in today's world, right? So people like Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, Yuval Noah Harari, like all these people are very, very influential, and they're all very well educated. Like most of them are PhDs from Oxford, okay? So just so we don't have like a kid that comes and says, who are you bringing up? Like, this is stupid, which actually, again, was a comment yesterday. Like, this is so stupid, like there must be better arguments than this, or there are better arguments than this. Okay, yeah, but these are the top ones. Okay. So there is no God, but with regards to other animals, humans have long since become gods. So we see, you know, the concept of God is still existing, even with atheists. Like, this is an atheist person. Okay? So we gave this, there were videos, but I was asked not to present these videos today. So because there are some logical inconsistencies here, right? So you have like the biggest question, who created God? If God exists, then who created it? And if you can't answer this question, then, well, why do you even believe? So we gave them this example to point out the error in this kind of logic. Because asking who created God is like asking who planted this chair. The question itself doesn't make sense, and we're going to see why. So imagine if you're an engineer, and we gave them this example yesterday, and you have created two robots, okay? You have the green robot, who's, let's call him the Christian or the believing robot, and then the red robot, who's the bad or atheist robot. You have created these two, you have designed them, okay? And then they're having a conversation together. And the red robot, for example, you know, is locking himself up in a little room, never goes out of it, and is just shutting himself in it. Okay? And then you have the green robot who's just interacting in the house, doing whatever, but not shutting himself up. And you, as the designer of these robots, let's say in the door الثاني, and they're discussing amongst themselves the door الأولي, في البيت. So let's see what this conversation can look like, and how we can use little small examples like this to drive the point across. So you have the good robot in green, he says, to the other robot, why do you think humans do not exist? And you are the engineer who designed them. Keep this in mind, okay? So the good robot saying, why do you think humans do not exist? And robot B says, what are the reasons for which humans do not exist? You ask, well, the first reason is that there are no reasons. دي كانت جملة في الفيديو البوب بتاع الاثيزم اسمه ريتشارد دوكنز قالها. And the reason for not to believe in God is that there are no reasons to believe in God. Circular reason, going in circles. Okay. So the good robot, مثلاً هيرد هيقوله, but humans designed us. Robot B, يقوله, no, you fool, we only look designed. Darwin said so. دي حاجة تانية من هما بيقولوها, نحن we only look designed, but there is no designer. This is just natural selection acting on mutations. again, keep in mind, you are the designer of these things. Robot A replies and says, but I constantly see humans, and I can hear their voices, and they really enjoy spending time with me. Okay. Robot B, poor you, you're hallucinating. People who believe in God are hallucinating. Poor you, you're hallucinating. You should seek technical support. Also tell me, if you think humans created you, can you specify who exactly designed the chipsets, graphics cards, and batteries that power up these humans? Who engineered these humans? You have no answer to that, of course, because you're primitive and superstitious. So they're applying their own design to the designer. We can't say who engineered humans. Humans, by definition, are not engineered things. Right? But these robots, that red robot, because he's so closed-minded and is not open to the fact that there might be some beings out there that are not subject to the laws that created us. So he's trapped himself in this bubble, in this box. Is that clear, the example? So if the robots can repeat the same reasons shown in the video among themselves, does that mean that they're right that humans don't exist? No, it's just that I don't understand how these humans are or how they function or whatever. It's just I don't have access to this level of information. But the other robot is definitely interacting with the human. They see, they take commandments from them, they talk, they might share a laugh, they might, you know, whatever. They see it because they're open. They're open to it. And when you're open to God, he will reveal himself to us for sure throughout the Bible and prayer and so on. A very interesting quote, Min Richard Dawkins was like the number one atheist. He's basically saying, even if there were no actual evidence in favor of the Darwinian theory, we should still be justified in preferring it over all rival theories. And this is from a book called The Blind Watchmaker, page 287 on Kindle, if you want to look it up. So he's basically saying, this is the guy who said, what can be asserted without evidence should also be dismissed without evidence. So how about we apply this to your own quote right here about Darwinian theory? Right? So they start by contradicting each other, or not each other, contradicting themselves from their own writings. But that's the difference. The flashy title that most of the kids see, there is no God, and start enjoying your life. When you start reading a little bit, you see all of these crazy things appear. So number two, how they see Christ's resurrection. Okay? So in the video, there are these two Oxford professors talking. One of them is an atheist, the other one is a Christian. And in the video, when the question came up, is there anything that you... the Christian was asking the atheist, is there anything that you can think of that will make you switch your position? So the atheist professor said no, and even if I was standing in front of the cross and I saw the resurrection with my own eyes, I will attribute it to that I'm hallucinating. Yeah. I can, by the way, share these videos like on the group, or Peter can share them on the group or whatever. Because like these are Oxford professors that we're talking about. So they say we only know what we see. We can only believe in what we see. But then all of a sudden, if you yourself saw Christ's resurrection, you're not going to believe it still, because it's going to be a hallucination. But you saw it. What can we do? And then the next point in the video was like, your position, Mr. Atheist, is it unfalsifiable? Like it cannot be falsified, no matter what you see. And he said yes. So when we are talking to our kids, we should encourage them to explore and to ask questions, because this is what the other faction is attacking us, that we are so close-minded and we have blind faith. But that's not true. In that video, it's the Christian professor who was open and spent most of his time in Russia, where there's really like hard atheism over there. And he was open to the other point of view. It's the atheist person who was close-minded and not open and saying, even if I saw the resurrection in my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it. Right? So to them, they cannot be wrong, and nothing will convince them they can be wrong. This is from their own mouth. Okay? So my comment is that if this is not the definition of blind faith, what is? And again, they accuse us of having blind faith. Look at yourselves. Right? So if we have these... So if we have these least notions that we're familiar with. When these questions come up, we can refer them to stuff like that so they can see and read. So number three, the universe. And this is really, I wish we could see the video here, but anyways. So they would say that the universe came from nothing. That's what the atheists believe in. But then you ask them, what is nothing? Okay? And then this is a quote from an MIT PhD called Lawrence Krauss. He says, nothing is a physical concept. Because nothing is the absence of something, and something is physical, so nothing is also physical. Mental gymnastics. Okay? I really want to show you these videos if I can share them with you afterwards, or Peter can share with them, but these are great. If you have people that are struggling with these concepts, please feel free to refer them to stuff like that, because it will simplify things a lot. So if nothing is physical, then it is something, right? So like, again, my comment on this is that some people, in order to escape the idea of God, will have no choice but to make fools out of themselves. Like when the psalm, Mazmur Lamabiul, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. It's not an insult to the person. It says that you are fooling yourself. And when you go to the extreme and saying that nothing is something, that's foolishness. With all due respect. Number four, life. So again, people like Richard Dawkins would say, like, no, life has not been designed. In the video, the person that was if you look at biology or at chemistry, can you see any trace of intelligent design? And he said, well, you know, if you look at the details of biochemistry, then yes, you can find a signature of a designer in the cell, but this designer could be an intelligence from outer space. So all of a sudden, now we're talking about aliens, that the design. So he's not opposed to design. It's just it cannot be your God, because your God comes with a set of things that we don't really like. Okay? But the cell itself is a testifier that this cannot have come about by simple design. And again, we're not talking about Darwinian theory today, but just keep this in mind, and when you look at that Darwinian theory from a mathematical point of view, the amount of mutations and the amount of changes that needs to build on top of one another to get a living cell, when you do the math of how many of these changes you need exponentially, there's not enough time on planet Earth, since it existed 14.6 billion years ago, or 4.6 billion years ago, that these changes could have happened. Mathematically, that's impossible. And when they say, one second, and they reply to this and say, okay, yeah, by chance alone, it's impossible, but you introduce a concept called cumulative selection. And I don't want to go into this. This is a little bit on the biological side. But their best evidence for this is that they constructed a computer program with a bunch of different letters, and they gave it a target sentence at the end. And they programmed it so that the computer by itself, looking at this target sentence, will try through trial and error to get to it. But that's not how Darwinian theory works. Darwinian theory has no goal by Darwin's own definition. It's a blind process. That's why his book is called The Blind Watchmaker. So that's a trick that they do in order to make their point. But that's not how it works in real life. According to Darwinian theory, life is going opposite to what the laws of nature are doing. Because if you leave something long enough, it decays. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Again, I don't want to go into all of this, but if you leave something on your own, it doesn't progress. It doesn't really evolve. It tends to decay, right? So it seems that life is going against the current, which is not what Darwin is all about. But anyways, and when they look at biochemistry, they admit there might be a design, and it can be an alien, it just can't be your God. God, no way. Aliens, yeah, let's go for it. And finally, morality. Okay? How many of you guys think... Oh, Christine, sorry, had a question.
What I was going to say about Darwin is that the evidence is against species jumping across each other or coming outside of each other, because the archaeological evidence shows that all of a sudden, there is an appearance of certain species.
on the flashy headlight, you start seeing lots of interesting things, right? Question for you. How many of you think that you have free will, that you're free to do anything that you want, in case you want to do it? If you want to choose Pepsi instead of Fanta, you can do that. If you want to wear, green versus yellow, you can do that. By raise of hand, how many of you think that you have free will? But in theory. But in theory, if I choose to drop this, I can drop it. If I choose not to drop it, you would be surprised. In the next video that we showed to the youth yesterday, we have these top thinkers that say that free will is an illusion. Okay? So they have no moral foundation. We're not saying that atheists cannot be moral. That's completely not true. Because at the end of the day, they're human beings who are created in the image of God. Whether they believe in it or not, that's their issue. But they are created in the image of God, so they have an inner sense of morality. So some atheists are very, very moral people, and they can put believers to shame. That's for sure. But the issue is that they know they have no foundation, they have no basis for their morality, because they don't believe in ultimate morality. They believe that everything is relative. Okay? So again, to our kids, this is an interesting point, because, again, of concepts like live once, or follow your heart, or, everything is relative. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't, don't. But the Bible says, Aramea, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that's why we need the guiding force of Christ as the ultimate lawgiver to guide our hearts. Okay? Another quote from Richard Dawkins about morality this time. And we're almost done. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. So this is their worldview. This is how they see the world, and this is how they act upon it. Right? If ultimately speaking there's no good and no evil, then ultimately, again, when you go behind the blah, 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 you're going to ask a question, you should do this. You're going to tell me, who are you to tell me what I should do? If I tell you, okay, Abuna says that, well, who is he? Why is he right and I'm wrong? Or you're going to appear to, you're going to go indefinitely saying, says who? Right? And this is a big problem. When you go beyond all the arguments about good and evil, about what's right and wrong, if you're talking to an atheist, they're going to tell you, like, if this doesn't agree with what I believe, says who? Who are you to tell me? Right? And this on the ground, interesting point. What if they are the ones making the law? What about Hitler, who was making the law? What about Stalin? What about Mao? These are people that have reached that level, that they are legalizing things and doing things because there is no one above them. But if you don't have a basis for it, if you are the one making the decision, if you are the top, and this is like the next thing that we're going to say in the
if you're going by cultures, it differs from one culture to another. For example, according to Hitler, he convinced his culture that getting rid of certain people is okay.
If that's the dystopian world that we're living in, where you have the strongest person or the loudest person is determining what's right and wrong. Says who? I'll tell you, says who? Says the strongest, right? And the most powerful. These will be the people that determine what's right and wrong, regardless of what's actually right and wrong. Why? Because there is no lawgiver. We don't believe in good and evil. So whoever is the strongest, whoever is the loudest, their world goes. And that's the world that the atheists live in. Right? So to summarize, the flashy headlight, God does not exist, but we are gods. Two, we only believe what we see, but if we see Christ resurrecting from the dead, we're hallucinating. Three, the universe came from nothing, but nothing is something. Four, life was not designed, except maybe by aliens. Five, a moral base does not require God, but we have no free will, so right and wrong don't exist. And then we ask this question to the kids. Do you trust these people with your eternity? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We have no free will. evolution of our brain. Our brain evolved in a way that is giving us the illusion, like things are designed, that there is free will, but there isn't. Because we only follow the processes that came about by evolution, by natural selection, and our brain is tricking us that we have free will. But at the very base, we don't. So that's what I say, it all stems from that rotten root of Darwinian theory. When I was in university, I studied biochemistry. So when I was at university, I was listed at Freshie and Ugem and Mosrugo. One of the professors, I was so naive, I saw that he was a Christian. And this doesn't happen in academia, especially in that field. So the way that he was acting and the way he was, you know, speaking, I thought he was a Christian. I really think that you're right, that Darwin is just like a theory. Rabda alayhi in all caps. Ali, Darwin is not just a theory, it's a fact, it's a law, and if you don't believe this, blah, 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 blah. What they say right now, what's going on in that scientific enterprise, is that Darwin is no longer a theory, Darwin is a fact. It's more proven than gravity. They'll tell you there is evidence from archaeology, from geology, from DNA, from sociology, from cosmology, from everything. And they tell you Darwin is a way of life. Darwin is a movement. You can't do medicine unless you believe in Darwin. And I would encourage you to watch a movie called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. These are people that used to be very high, eminent scientists that lost their jobs because they started publishing or talking about intelligence, not even God, but intelligence in terms of biology. See how many people lost their jobs because of this in America and in Canada, right? So, yeah.
He says that the scientists, like, for example, a case for a creator, he says from different fields, from biochem, from cosmology, there's evidence that there is a creator, and those, like, science does prove that there is a creator, there is a master designer behind this. It didn't happen by chance. The earth itself, the presence of the earth and the Goldilocks zone, and the split here, or the razor edge that it's standing on, and the fact that the scientists cannot find any livable areas away from Earth for many galaxies, and you know, this way or that way.
From Dawkins, it said, even if there is no evidence, this is still the best theory. So this summarizes their whole point of view. They are not open to these things. It's a worldview rather than science. So that's the thing. It's a worldview rather than actual science, because when you start questioning them, you see the close-mindedness from their own mouths. Again, like what I want to drive here is, again, it's important for us to raise these questions and raise these topics with the kids, because they have lots to say, and I think they'll benefit a lot from discussions when it comes to these things. Yes.
We're dealing with very young kids who don't have yet the maturity to understand these things. Yet, you want to put the base. How would you go about it? Like, this is the most important age where you plant a grain that later will not be questioned. When you have a really solid ground at that level, it's harder to question it later.
Yeah. number one, when you're talking about a young age, you're talking, and we want to be careful because they're still young and we shouldn't overburden them. From a Christian perspective, absolutely this is right. But the other party is not doing this. The guy that I referred to, Yuval Noah Harari, he has a book called Sapiens, A Brief History of Humanity. I've read this book, it's big. He has published since a kid version of this book, right? I bought it and I read it. Very nice. The animations in, like, or the cartoons, super attractive. The dialogue, super, super attractive. He's gay, right? And he is introducing gay notions in this book. And attacking religion in this book. So, to answer your question, whoever gets to the kids first wins, right? If we at home start talking about there's men and women, for instance, God created because look at how beautiful the universe is. Very, very simple things, but we should draw their attention that flower that you see in the backyard or that tree that you see, do you know how complicated this is? This is not just like a tree. There are lots of moving things inside it. There's lots of cells. It absorbs the sun. It needs water without water. So all of these things, we can start connecting the dots without using fancy. Definitely don't use this language. No way. But the things that they see and interact with as kids, right? These are important tools because the creation, like the Bible says, the creation speaks to God's genius and God's design. Even until Revelation, you see that one of the reasons why the elders give glory to God is because he created everything, right? Just things that we take for granted, the grass, the trees, the flowers, the stars, all of these things, the moon, all these things that we can point that why they could be designed and they're more complicated than how they look, right? And we can say we can take these things for granted, but other people say other things on how these things came to be. What do you think about? So we go just one step more than, oh, this is a nice flower. Do you know how complicated this flower is? Do you know how complicated that tree is? This giraffe that you like, that you see, do you know how amazing, for example, the food passes from its mouth all the way down? How these things are complex. There is other things that we can watch, mostly on YouTube. There are these videos, for example, that show you how life is under the sea, under the ocean. How certain fish, we're just like watching a video like this. It's just like a fish that's building, that's making a design in the sand at the very bottom of the ocean so it can mate with the other person and have babies. So we could watch a video like this. I don't know without going into that part, but saying, look at how beautiful that design is. How does this fish do this? How does the octopus escape from? So using creation as an educational tool and going beyond, oh, it looks so cute, sure. But do you know how amazing this is? Do you know how great that frog is or that lizard is and it stretches out? Ask them, do you think that this could have come by chance?
It also starts with us knowing. And how are we going to teach what we don't know? يعني we know it, ربنا خلق كل حاجة وبتاع, بس ايه ال evidence؟ أنا عارفة وكده because I believe, خلاص ده مش محتاجة أفكر فيها. بس do I know if they are asked that question؟ يعني مثلا if I sent my kid to a daycare when he was 4 years old and came back saying is God a man or woman? And it seems that one of the daycare persons, my son is spoken and he likes to talk about everything, and I talk to him about God and everything. And he goes like, oh, you know, and then they just probed with one question. Is God a man or a woman? And if he's a man, why only a man? Masala. Why are angels men or women? But Archmichael comes as a man. Why are there women angels? And these questions are innocent.
servants and parents and whatever, educators, if we are interested in class or whatever they are also interested, we owe it to them to start reading and start having, because it's not difficult, right? Like, you read a book. I remember when I heard this quote that Dawkins, I don't know, even if there's no evidence for evolution, they keep these things at the very end of their books, right? So I was driving and I was listening to the book on Audible, and I almost made an accident. I'm like, what? And then I stopped and I bookmarked them. Like, I'm gonna see this when I go home in more details, right? The other thing, when you're saying, okay, I'm gonna program a computer and give it an end sentence, an end goal. This is not how it works. And like, what are you doing? So all these things, like, when we start reading a little bit their books, we start finding these things, and we can confidently talk to our kids about them. They are going to use flashy titles, but look a little bit deeper. Ask one more question, and you're going to find all of the words, the kind of words.
The case for Christ, the case for Creator, for kids, that for me, that is not sophisticated. I bought it for me, and I read it for me, so that I'm able to tell it in kids' way.
للأطفال بيتكلم على القيامة وبيتكلم على كل المسيح إنه إكزيستيف فات امبارح يعني خلص التوبيك بتاعه بكلمه مهمه ما قالهاش النهارده, انه the personal relationship with God is a solution for everything. So لما اولادنا يكون عندهم علاقه قويه بربنا, ربنا بيحل اسئله كتيره قوي في ذهنهم, وده اهم حاجه ان الانجيل والصلاه ما يسيبوش عينيهم وقلبهم يعني. فنصلي علشانهم ونشجعهم يصلوا. في صور وزيت لمريم مرقص اللي يحب ياخد.